I'd like to welcome you to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society this morning. And as we found out yesterday at our orientation service, that many of the people that first came into our society, when they first came into the society, found these words to be very meaningful. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter your age or your abilities or inabilities. Later in the service, for those of you that are new, we will invite you to introduce yourselves so that we may get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we present a wide variety of services. They're either presented by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community as it is today, or by our minister, the Reverend Sandy Ingham. Today, our presentation is by Edward Zappala. Our opening words are going to be read by Barb Chatterton.
Our opening words for the Sunday before Veterans Day are the prayer that Eleanor Roosevelt apparently carried around in her pocket during World War II to highlight the sacred responsibility of sending others off to war. It's both profound and true, and here's what it said. Dear Lord, lest I continue my complacent way, help me to remember somehow out there a man died for me today. As long as there be war, I then must ask and answer, am I worth dying for?
Our chalice lighting this morning will be done by the Hughes family. Here comes Heidi. And the rest of the family is on. Okay, well, I'll take part of the responsibility.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, my kids kind of disappeared on me. We light this chalice, symbolic of the warmth of community and the brightness that love brings to the world, illuminating our search for justice and peace. Light, that force that nurtures all living things, here in our midst in the flame, so tiny and so significant.
Now's the time for our presentation this morning. We have some setup to do. While that's ongoing, let me read the introduction here. Ed Zappala will be speaking to us today on Veterans Court. Ed is a justice outreach social worker for the Rock County Veterans Court. He's also a social worker in the homeless program at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin, where he's been since 2007. He has worked as the liaison between the hospital and its grant and per diem transitional housing programs until 2009. He's been the Veterans Justice Outreach Coordinator for the facility ever since. In this capacity, he's helped establish veterans treatment courts in Rockford, Illinois and Janesville, Wisconsin, as well as providing ongoing case management. The Madison Veterans Law Center, in addition to serving on its board, the Northern Illinois Veterans Justice Task Force, he's also its co-chair, and regular outreach processes to four county jails. Ed is a trained facilitator of moral, I think that's reconciliation therapy. Is that what it is, or?
Reconciliation.
It's a word I didn't know, I'm sorry. He's a trained facilitator of moral reconciliation therapy and has done presentations to over 1,100 law enforcement and other staff on the veterans' justice issues. I don't want to steal all his time, but Ed is also a graduate of Smith College for Social Work in Northampton, Massachusetts, where he earned a master's degree in clinical social work. During his time there, he had internships in primary care and outpatient mental health at the Audie L. Murphy Memorial Veterans Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas, in addition to interning at Summit Adolescent Day Treatment Program in Longmont, Colorado, Ed is a licensed clinical social worker in the state of Wisconsin. Let us all welcome Ed Zappala. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick, for the introduction, and thanks, Penny, for inviting me. Where did Penny go? I saw her earlier. I got to meet a few of you last week as I got my dates mixed up and came last week, so I should be very prepared today. I have no reason for messing up at all. So my agenda for today would be to first give you a little bit of background on a problem that exists with veterans right now, to talk about veterans justice outreach. Also then talk about veteran treatment courts, which will be kind of the meat of what I'm going to be talking about. Other activities that I'm involved in, what UU can do, but also leave time at the end for questions. But as I go, if you have any questions, please feel free to shout them out. So to start with, how does this relate to Unitarian Universalism? I should say, first of all, I'm a member, actually, of First Unitarian Society myself. So I think this is a pretty relevant topic. As far as the principles that are behind UU, I think with believing in a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, I think that will pertain. Also, believing in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, I think that principle will also be relevant, as well as believing in justice, equity, and compassion. So hopefully that will be more clear as I go. First, I want to introduce you to Adam. Now, I've changed some details here. Adam was a veteran that I had worked with. He was in his late 20s, an African-American male. He was the Army veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom, so taking part in the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I got involved with him after he had multiple driving under the influence charges. So I'll kind of go back to Adam as I go. First, a sense for the problem that exists. About 10% of the adults arrested in a given year are veterans. Yeah. And so that adds up to over 1 million a year. So you kind of see what that chunk looks like. However, all veterans. Good question, yeah. That's 2008 data. However, I always want to emphasize this, veterans do have lower rates of incarceration than non-veterans. So I think that's something that people don't always appreciate. A recent study of veterans in prison found that 30% of them were homeless at some point. And this is something I didn't appreciate before doing my job, is if they weren't homeless beforehand, becoming incarcerated can really disrupt things in that regard. So either your job, you may not have the job when you get out of incarceration. Paying your rent, that might not be happening while you're incarcerated as well. So your housing is really made unstable by arrests. The study found that 60% of the veterans had some serious medical problem. And a little quiz for you all. What did you think was the most common psychiatric diagnosis found? So was it psychosis? So that would be some significant break from reality. Military-related PTSD, so I see some nodding. A mood disorder such as depression, or an alcohol or other drug use disorder. Any guesses? The last one, all of the above. All right, any other guesses? C, mood disorder, okay, and B. So we got quite a bit of a variety here. You were correct, sir. So 45% had an alcohol use disorder, 45% had another drug use disorder. So really, those are separate diagnoses. So you're really talking a significant amount of substance use disorders. Military-related PTSD, y'all did pretty well on that, because usually when I talk to people, they really emphasize this. And this is important, but if you look, at least four times more common of a diagnosis than military-related PTSD. So Some PTSD can really overlap quite a bit with psychosis. There's some break in reality. But there's also sort of distinct, those are also distinct diagnoses as well. So the psychosis would be more, you know, seeing things that aren't there as far as, you know, individuals having really unusual beliefs. But yeah, there's definitely an overlap with PTSD there. So another guess, another kind of quiz. How many do you think said they were using, what percentage said they were using drugs or alcohol at the date of release, arrest? Any guesses? 60%? Any other guesses? 70, 80, 90, okay. 80 or okay. You guys did pretty good there. Actually, you're a little higher than, I was surprised, so 50%. So I was still surprised at that. 24% were arrested on a drug charge. So really, and this is just one study, but this is actually consistent with my experience. Substance use is a major part of veterans getting arrested, and really, I think individuals getting arrested as well. So the same study, how many do you think, what percentage said they wanted mental health help at the VA? So keep in mind, not only are we talking veterans, people have been in combat, kind of not your normal mental health seeking population, we're also talking prisoners. Also not your normal, to my mind, your people seeking mental health help. How, what percentage do you think said they wanted this? 75? 3? That would be more where I would have expected. Dirk, what? Okay, so a bit of a variety there. 59%, so more than half said they wanted that. Wanting medical help was even a higher percentage. So another study of veterans in jail found that 74% would be eligible for VA services, but just 35% had been receiving VA services. So really, if you kind of take all of what I've just been talking about, there are significant numbers of eligible veterans wanting and needing care in the justice system, but are not getting it. So that's sort of the summary message. Adam fit into this. So Adam had a mild alcohol use disorder. He also did have military-related PTSD. So as you said it back there, ma'am, you know, I think there was some self-medication going on. He also had some short-term memory problems after a traumatic brain injury as well. So he kind of fit this pretty well. His housing was pretty stable, actually, overall. So this is sort of where my job kind of comes in. This started about 2009, and what it's called is the Veterans Justice Outreach Program. And the purpose of this program is to avoid the unnecessary criminalization of mental illness and extended incarceration among veterans, kind of a mouthful there, by ensuring that eligible veterans involved in the justice system have timely access to VA healthcare services as clinically indicated. And of course, you know, if there's something needed outside the VA, we look for that as well. So what do we do? So we do outreach, assessment, and case management for justice-involved veterans, so that's kind of the term, in local courts and jails, and we also liaison with local justice system partners. So I think to kind of summarize what we do, we're a bit of a link. So there's the Madison VA Hospital, and then there's the veterans early in the justice system. And you can't smoke while you're in jail, so that's not an accurate picture. I know we'll have time for questions in a minute here, but any questions thus far, other questions? So the question is, why are there so many that want it but can't get it? I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I've run across some veterans say, I didn't know I was eligible for some of these services. So that's one thing. And then some veterans that just, you know, don't want to take advantage. You know, I mean, there's a bit of a stigma around mental illness and seeking help. So those are a couple, I think, a couple of possible reasons. Good question. So can they get services in Rock County, or do they have to come to Madison? That's a good question. So there's a VA hospital in Madison, but there's also a VA clinic in Rock County. There's a number of VA clinics in the area. Rockford, Illinois also has a VA clinic. So some of the services you can get in Janesville, more in Rockford. So what I want to do now is kind of go into the Veteran Treatment Court section of the presentation. This will involve my showing a video.
Wars in Iraq and Afghanistan get home, some face tremendous challenges, and that can include run-ins with the law. Well, now in one courtroom in Buffalo, New York, the first of its kind, they're getting help. NBC's Bob Thaw has that story.
This court is now in session.
This might look like any other municipal court, but this is the only one in the country just for veterans.
These individuals have sacrificed for us, and they deserve an extra effort on our part to see what we can do to get them healthy and stabilized.
Which, given what they've done and what they've seen in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other wars, has left many veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, unable to cope, homeless and jobless when they return.
The war took more than his friends, and now he'll never be the same again.
Veteran Tom Z, charged with criminal mischief, didn't just write a song about veterans' troubles, he lived them.
I mean, the alcohol and the drugs were keeping me happy in the rut I was in. I didn't think there was anything wrong because everybody I knew was drunk and high.
Tom had faced charges in other courts before, but in this one, unlike the others, the judge he faced...
Thomas, tell me about you.
This judge, who can send offenders to jail if they fail to comply with treatment programs, this judge was different.
I mean, he did something that no other judge ever asked. He looked me in the eyes, and he said... How are you doing? What's going on in your life? What can I do to help? What can this court do to help you? And I was like, huh?
It wasn't just a judge who cared. It was a full support system, a representative from the Veterans Administration, and mentors for each veteran who appears here.
I got accepted into a supportive housing program.
Every mentor, a volunteer, and a veteran.
So you do have to break down some barriers and actually work with them and say, listen, I came back from Iraq, you know, these are the stumbling blocks I hit, and this is what I did to make it better.
Because of the court, Tom Z now gets drug counseling and benefits he never even knew existed. Because of the court, Gary Pettengill is not only in a vocational rehab program, he also retains custody of the children he almost lost after being busted for selling drugs.
Sounds to me like before you fell between the cracks and these guys made sure that you
right.
were caught.
It's kind of linking everything together, my pain management, along with my mental health, along with my substance abuse, making sure I go to my groups, making sure I get the help that I needed.
In this court, veterans helping veterans.
We'll do what we can and everything else is up to you, right?
It's under the motto, leaving no one behind. So every Tuesday here, the ritual unfolds.
How often do you talk to your spouse?
Every day.
That's the right thing to do.
And because this judge is invested in them, they feel an obligation to him.
Because he cares that much about me, you know, and he doesn't even know me. I want to make him proud. I want to do the right things.
In operation only since January and limited to nonviolent offenses, it's too early to judge this court's long-term success. But if Juan Vasquez, troubled for years with a string of drug-related arrests, is any indication, something here is working.
I want to say thank you to you, Your Honor, for believing in me, giving me hope and strength again to believe that I'm a human being and I can be reunited with society.
All because a judge who can be tough also believes that lives can be transformed.
I seen you on some bad days, and it's showing up is good to see you on a day like today.
I work a lot on positive reinforcement, and I think it's important that people believe that they can achieve their goals.
Confused, troubled, neglected. Not anymore.
I want a hug.
Thank you.
Thank you for saving my life.
For today, Bob Faugh, NBC News, Buffalo.
A great judge.
Nice to see smiles coming from the bench every once in a while.
Any reactions to that? So, you know, that was pretty self-explanatory. So that was the first Veterans Court in Buffalo, New York. I actually got a chance to go and visit that court, which was really, really a special experience. So in general, you know, these kind of programs are a specialty or problem-solving court. And in a nutshell, I think what they do is they take the coercive and charismatic powers of the courts, partnering with robust VA services to help the justice-involved veterans and keep communities safe. They include drug testing, treatment, mental health or substance use treatment, case management, volunteer mentors. So you saw some of that. Other veterans that have been, you know, had some troubles themselves, help the veterans through the process, and also regular court appearances. And locally, at least, after 1 to 3 successful years of this, the veterans' original criminal charges are either reduced or dismissed. So that's part of the carrot for the process. So more specifically, one of the courts that I work for is in the Rock County Regional Veterans Treatment Court. That's in Janesville. We accept referrals from Rock, Green, Walworth, and Jefferson counties. And the presiding judge is James Daly. So he's pictured here. And for those paying attention to the news, he's actually running for the state Supreme Court right now as well. So he is a retired general himself, and he's actually been pretty open about his own difficulties after coming back from the military. So that's remarkably powerful, hearing somebody in his position being open about some of those kind of things. Another program that I work with is in Winnebago County, Illinois, Rockford, Illinois more specifically, and the presiding judge is the Honorable Janet Holmgren, who's also pictured here. She is not a veteran herself, but she's very familiar with these type of specialty courts. And this is actually the court program that Adam was in. So Adam was going to this court program. He was going to AA. He was also did a course of residential alcohol and drug treatment, and then did some outpatient PTSD treatment as well, all while being monitored by this program. And then lastly, but most new, is the Dane County Veterans Treatment Court. And so the presiding judge there is David Flanagan, who actually is a veteran himself. And this is brand spanking new since last month, actually. So pretty exciting program there. And you know, I've pictured just the judges, because they're the easiest pictures to find. But these are really team efforts. You know, we need the prosecutor, the defense attorney, we need you know, law enforcement are part of the process sometimes, so it's really a much broader team than just the judges, but the judges are key. So veteran courts are one thing, but other things are also happening. I'm involved in some other things that I thought would be important to mention. So I do some training with law enforcement and other staff on veteran issues and how to refer veterans to treatment instead of arresting them sometimes, for example. I facilitate the Moral Reconciliation Therapy group that Rick referred to earlier. That's a group psychotherapy that actually focuses on justice involvement, which has been a really rewarding experience. I've had some involvement with the Madison Veterans Law Center. Has anyone heard of the Madison Veterans Law Center? I see some nods. Okay, excellent. Yeah, they do great work. So they provide free legal advice and referrals for civil legal issues. So the veteran treatment courts are for the criminal legal issues, the stuff you can go to jail for. The civil issues might be things like divorce, for example, that are also significant barriers at times. They meet once per month at the Porchlight Building on Northbrook Street, and also once per month at the City County Building downtown. Another thing that I do is jail outreach. So I do regular outreach to the Dane, Dodge, Rock, and Winnebago County jails. So the Winnebago County jail is pictured here. Doesn't look too scary, does it? I've seen over 280 individuals there at all the different jails. When I looked at a sample, about 63% of them would be new to the Madison VA. So this is kind of consistent with what we saw earlier, that there's significant folks that aren't connected to services. And so this is a great opportunity to get them connected to services they might need. So what can UU do, right? If you're an employer, you can hire an individual with a criminal history. You know, that can be a big barrier at times. If you're a landlord or own some property, you know, consider maybe renting somebody with a criminal history as well. If you want to observe a session of the Veterans Treatment Court or a drug court, these are open to the public. So I think it's a great experience. You got a little bit of a sense for it here. There's a bit of theatrics involved with a court, so it's quite an experience. You can mentor if you're a veteran. Are there any veterans in the room, if you feel comfortable saying so? Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. Excellent. So you know, that's been a pretty big thing. I mean, I'm not a veteran myself, but I think you guys would know better than me. The veteran bond can be a pretty strong bond. And so being a mentor can be huge. There is the interfaith organization, Moses, that is doing some work on the justice system. I think First Unitarian, we've become a member formally of Moses, so they're doing some good work. Prairie is, okay, well, you beat me to the punch. Are there any attorneys in the room? None that want to admit that, maybe? you do, okay. Okay, well, you know, volunteering with the Veterans Law Center, you know, could be a powerful thing to do. For sharing that and for what you're doing. Yeah, Guitars for Vets, I've heard some good things about that. Yeah, right, we saw that firsthand. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely, so there's the post 9/11 GI Bill. That some veterans have taken advantage of. Absolutely. That can be a resource for individuals. So as far as family services, so most of the services that I work with are kind of geared on the veteran themselves. While they're active duty, so while they're active in the military, my understanding, and the veterans can chime in if I'm getting this wrong, there's a little bit more family supports. I think the Vet Center offers some couples counseling that's a little broader than what the VA offers at times. But there is couples counseling and some family services through the VA hospital as well, but not as much, I'm not sure. Definitely the family, I mean, the outcomes there can be very different if the person has a strong support system. I've seen that firsthand. If they've got nobody, things are so much harder, especially if you're in jail. It's really hard to do anything while you're in jail, but if you've got somebody on the outside, you know, advocating for you, I think the outcomes are definitely better. So that's a great comment. So I have heard of this as well, of some veterans being taken advantage of regarding the GI Bill and you know, post 9/11 GI Bill. As far as specific services to kind of counteract that, to be honest, sir, I'm not sure. I believe a lot of the colleges have a rep that works specifically with the veteran, so they might be a sort of first point of contact. Beyond that, I'm not sure. I mean, the Veterans Law Center, if it's a civil legal issue, if the veteran, you know, wants to take some sort of, you know, legal action, that might be a first step, potentially. My understanding is that the last, you know, decade at least, when folks are discharging from the military, there's a little bit better efforts to provide some education on the services available, so to kind of prevent problems happening. Whether that catches every veteran, I'm guessing it doesn't, but I think that's something that's done. Okay. You know, to be honest, in my experience, I'm not really seeing it. Now I'm just seeing, you know, my little sort of sliver of veterans. Mental health services wise, you know, I just had a veteran, you know, a week ago who's in jail, just got out of jail, and we got him an appointment within a week to see a psychiatrist and to see a counselor. You know, I think less than a week, actually. So that's not to say there are not some waits in some capacity. I think one of the important things to do as well is to look sort of how things compare. What are you comparing it to as well? And I think sometimes the private sector definitely has some weights as well. Definitely with the national issues coming up, there clearly are some problems and clearly things that need to get fixed. But locally, I'm not seeing a lot of it, to be honest with you. I'm seeing some veterans have to wait to see me, to be honest, because I've been kind of busy. But I'm trying to figure out ways to make that less of an issue. So the question is, how were these funded, veteran treatment courts? Kind of hodgepodge has been my experience. So the nice thing, and so these veteran treatment courts have spread like wildfire. So drug courts are a very common model, and veteran courts borrow quite a bit from drug courts. There's a lot more research on drug courts. What I've read recently is veteran courts are spreading at 4 times the rate of drug courts. So I think a big part of why that is there's a lot of services available for the veterans. So the courts aren't having to write new grants, to get staff. It's just leveraging already existing resources at the VA and through other entities. So it's a hodgepodge. So a lot of the stuff is the VA, so I'm paid, I'm a federal employee, so I'm already kind of paid for. It's also can be a labor of love too. Some of the judges, Judge Daly often says this is his favorite part of the week is doing veterans court. So, and he's come in on his vacation. So I think this can be a labor of love for individuals involved. I know with our DA here in Dane County, he's a veteran himself. So that's sort of how I see it happening. Maybe we were referring to there's transitional housing programs for veterans. So there's the transitional housing programs. We've got one in Madison, Janesville, and Rockford. I used to work with those folks, so it's sort of the VA partnering with community entities to provide transitional housing. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to, but those can be great programs for veterans, has been my experience. Sometimes you don't need an income to get in, which has been great, a stable place to live, connection to other services. Well, it's funny you should ask that. So very accidental, I will say this. I actually went to social work school with a gentleman who wanted to work in the prisons, and I'll be honest with you, I thought he was crazy. I thought, this is so dangerous and depressing, why would you want to do that? So it was purely accidental that I started working where I am today. But it's been excellent stuff. So yeah, totally an accident. That's a great question, sir. And I think the police, that's the front end of the justice system. So if obviously the ideal is not even to go that far, but if to kind of avert an issue there, I think is the ideal. Then the veteran has nothing on their criminal history potentially. The problem is averted very early on. They don't lose their housing by going to jail. So I've been involved in efforts with folks from the Wisconsin National Guard. We've got a police chief in Horicon who's a veteran himself. He's a tireless advocate on these issues. So we've done many presentations with law enforcement. We're actually involved. I'm actually meeting with somebody from the UW Police Department, I think, in 2 weeks. So he's going to try to provide information to his colleagues on these issues. So we're also doing something with the VA Police Department. So the VA hospitals are federal property, so they have their own police force. So we're doing something with the VA police as well to kind of augment their skills on recognizing these issues in veterans and how to de-escalate the veterans. So yeah, that's, I think, a very important piece of this work. I think we're probably getting short on time. Are we all done? Can I add with one last thing here? So Adam successfully graduated the Rockford Veterans Court. So doing that, he was able to avoid some jail time. Last I talked to him, doing very well in school. Also doing very well working as well. So a real success story, and hopefully we can have many more Adams. And these are my contact information if you have any other questions. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Ed. Ann, will you do the closing words?
Yes. Our closing words are by actress Melissa Fitzgerald, who some of you may know from The West Wing. She's currently the senior director of a group called Justice for Vets. We are at a critical moment in our nation's history. We have to decide as a nation how we are going to take care of our veterans. Will we make room for them in our hearts, or will we make room for them in our prisons?
Greet your neighbor. Thanks for coming. See you next week.